to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we'll now open up for public comment. Anyone wishing to speak is more than welcome.
I do have a lot of problems with how things are written up. What I found is that for your goal for the year 2014 through 2015 was to consolidate JPA 1 and JPA 2 and the solid and the sanitary one or how are you, whatever. And actually, all of the ones that I go through, and believe me, I got a lot more papers at home, and absolutely none of them mention that until after the April 7th, 2015 meeting, okay? I find it where it says it is the goal for it, and right here it says at the April full board meeting, the full board finalized its suggestions for the makeup of the consolidated JPA 2 below are the highlights. I read one that you turned in too, that that was the goal for 2014, like I just said a few minutes ago. And I continuously, the more meetings that I have been going to, I find contradictions throughout all of them, and I do have the paperwork to show you exactly what it is that I'm talking about. I just didn't bring it all, but if anybody's interested, there. I also understand that each one of these different agencies, do you guys get paid for each one that you sit on?
No.
They don't get any.
Okay, because it says, who pays the JPA? The member agencies that create the joint power agencies or authority pay for the organization's operations and pay. Okay, so like I said, there's a lot of contradictory, because now you just said, no, none of you get paid or anything else like that. What funds then are you transferring into the agencies as you're consolidating them?
I think Christina can probably answer that better, but
this is public comment, and we're not going
to respond. Yeah, you're not supposed to supposed to answer me, and then when it goes on to the schedule, then it all of a sudden it's not the right thing, not the right board, not the right this. So I'm asked to sit down. And that's why I'm bringing this up forward. And yes, that's one of the meetings that I have been unable to get. However, I do have somebody that is looking into it. Like I said, there's a bunch of contradictory going on in this. And how things are being paid, how everything is being condensed down now. When I came in here for, I believe it was the April 7th meeting, it was a surprise to me because that was the first meeting that I went to for the landfill. The only reason why I got involved in the landfill is because I wouldn't say I'm representing, I'm helping the Westgate subdivision on their issues, and that's the only reason why I got involved. But when I walked in and saw the full board for this meeting, then I was really surprised to see nothing more than the Board of Supervisors and the City Council members. I asked questions about that. Who is your governing board? You guys, you were there. I kept asking, who's your governing board? Well, you don't have to answer me because this is public comment period. So that kind of threw me. And it took me a while to actually find. I do know that the county is a charter county. I looked up all their laws, and in fact, both different things.
Your 3 minutes.
My 3 minutes are up, and that's how it works. And I can, like I said, I can prove everything that I'm saying. I just am told now to go in here and find out how I've been treated, how it's going, and they also can't find the April 7th one.
Pleasure of the board. Do you want Kathy to continue, or, you know?
I'm not really sure what she's after here.
When I was asking about who was the governing board, who oversees you guys' decisions, since you're all on the same boards, same people, even though you have new people that come in, the public person, the city of Cornyn, and the city of Tehama, each has one, but yet the five and the five out.
That board is not sitting yet, Kathy. That is the new board for the new landfill. We have not yet had a meeting of that board. And the people that put us on that board are the electorate of the county.
I have read up also on that. So is what you're saying is the JPA one? You've never been to that meeting? You've never been to the...
I didn't say that.
The solid waste?
I did not say that, Kathy.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same people.
Well, I'm sorry. Public comment is over. We'll move forward to our regular items. First item up is the minutes.
I would so move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second for the March 18th meeting, which was held in Corning. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I was not at the meeting.
All right, so you can approve to form only?
I can approve to form.
Very good.
And I will do so.
And we'll move to item B, the warrant register. Any questions of Christina on the warrant?
And this is a warrant register for the grant funding?
Yes.
For grant funds?
For expenses.
And what's, I'm unfamiliar with what the grant or grants is or are.
We manage numerous different grants. I'm going to scoot up because I want to make sure the recorder can capture me. So we manage a waste tire collection event grant through CalRecycle. We manage 4 city county beverage container, what are called payment programs, but they're grants as well. We manage a used oil and filter payment program, which is a grant. We manage hazardous waste grants and then competitive beverage container grants as well. And so all of the expenses for those grants are included in this warrant register. I can go over the higher expense items if you'd like to provide some clarity.
Well, I don't think we need to at this point. That clarifies a bunch. I didn't know. I could see that these were several different kind of areas of sanitary landfill stuff, but I didn't realize that they were all covered by different grants.
Yeah, so I can go over what each grant basically funds in another meeting if you would like, and just provide some background.
I can pretty much decipher it from the list of activities here.
Okay.
So
I think in all honesty it would be advantageous at the first meeting of the new board to outline all of the grants and their purpose and what cities and the county are involved.
No problem.
That's probably a good idea. When everything has been transferred into one agency, go over the different funds and kind of, if nothing else, just a brief synopsis of
most certainly
what all we're dealing with.
That's evening.
All right. Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So this is the grant funded awards is the amount of $59,010.80.
And I'd just like to say before there's a vote on this, assuming that the consolidation goes forward, this will be the last warrant register for this agency.
Right, so we will clear where everything will be balanced.
Yes, I made sure to include every last expense that we can expect, except for the audit for fiscal year 14-15, because it hasn't been completed yet for this agency.
And then with that, can I ask for clarification? Are we going to refer to this as JPA 2 or the Sanitary Landfill Management Agency?
It will be referred to as the Tehama County Solid Waste Management Agency.
Okay.
You will still see grant-funded expenses, and they will still come out of expense account 504.
Okay. Yeah, it's the name that continues to throw me, because it continues to be referred to in all this as JPA 2, but it says right in the resolution that the name will be called the Tehama County Solid Waste Management.
So it'll still be JPA 2. It'll just be renamed the Tehama County Solid Waste Management Agency.
And that's what it will be referred to from now on. It will no longer be referred to as JPA 2.
Assuming the consolidation is approved, yes.
Big assumption. Thank you.
So for the grant-funded warrants, I need...
I will so move.
Very good.
Second.
I have a motion and a second for the grant-funded warrants. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. And for the non-grant-funded, an amount of $2,639.06.
We have a lot of, or some, advertising here. Was that for a specific?
That's actually using our recycled market development zone funds, which are reimbursed by CalRecycle. It's not a grant, so it doesn't come out of our grant accounts, but it's funds we are allocated through CalRecycle. So what we have to do is we submit our annual plan of what we want to do for outreach for our zone. And then once CalRecycle approves our plan of what we want to do, then we're approved to spend the funds. And so then we complete whatever we said we were going to do. And then we submit the invoice to CalRecycle, and then they reimburse us. So the $2,304 will be reimbursed by CalRecycle.
And what's that advertising dollars? Kind of more like,
we are the Tehama County Recycled Market Development Zone. And we're one of, I want to say, 23 zones in the state of California. We became a zone back in 2009, and being a zone provides a lot of significant benefits to our county in encouraging both products to be made out of recycled materials. So if we cite a company that makes a product out of recycled materials here in Tehama County, they can get extremely low interest loans that are below the market. And then they can also get free marketing assistance through CalRecycle, because we're a zone. CalRecycle also gives us what we call zone incentive funds that we get to spend each year to market our zone. And so what these funds did is that they provided advertising of our zone through KCHO and KFPR.
Radio time.
Yes.
Radio time to tell whoever's listening out there that we are a recycle zone. If you have a business that has recyclables, give us a call.
Yes.
Okay.
And you want a site in Tehama County. So it's meant to create jobs and create more business opportunities in Tehama County. Composting businesses can apply, and anaerobic digestion, all sorts of different types of recycling-related types of manufacturing businesses can qualify for the program.
And is that what some of the advertising was on this one, on the previous one?
No. So those...
And I don't mean to bring up a closed...
That's fine.
Those advertising costs are for used oil. Used motor oil recycling. We're given $26,000 each year to, and those funds, without getting too much into the details, those funds fund the actual oil collection that we have, oil collection tanks throughout the county, both for farmers and for the general public. So it funds that. It also funds oil filter collection. It funds advertising, and it funds personnel time maintaining the tanks, cleaning the tanks.
And again, that advertisement time was one I was was kind of questioning that. And that is just flyers that, some of the flyers that are printed to go out? Is that the kind of thing?
I think it was mostly radio advertising here. So KBLF is a local radio station, 1490 AM. You may be familiar with it. We do flyers, but most of our flyers we produce in-house. Yeah, so most of this is all KBLF, so it's all local radio station.
And those tanks are maintained where?
So we have a tank at Rob's Recycling in Los Molinos. We have both a tank for residential users and a tank for agricultural farmers to use at the landfill. We have a tank in Corning for farmers to use. We have a tank in Rancho Tehama. We have a tank in Gerber at the Public Works Yard. I believe that sums it up.
And that's all oil recycling?
All oil recycling.
And they're all pretty well used on a regular basis?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. I would say Los Molinos is the least utilized, but it's also pretty... The population isn't hot as high in Los Molinos as it is in other areas.
Okay.
All right. If there are no other, if there's no other discussion, I will move to accept
the non-granted funded warrant.
The non-granted, granted funded warrant.
I would second that.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. And on to item 5.1.
So I'll go over this again. So one of the goals of this fiscal year is to research the possibility of consolidating the two JPAs. I've been presenting this on so many occasions.
Yeah. Can you recite this with your eyes closed?
I can. Because I've been to each city twice. I've been to the county. I've been to the JPA, the different JPAs on numerous occasions. Initially, we had hoped to get the consolidation completed before I went on maternity leave. And then I went on maternity leave earlier than I anticipated.
That you anticipated.
And so here we are today. So after working with all of the stakeholders and CalRecycle and both legal counsels for both agencies, what you have before you is the final amended and restated joint powers agreement reconstituting the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill Management Agency as the Tehama County Solid Waste Management Agency. The consolidation combines the roles of JPA 1 and JPA 2 into JPA 2. It does not create a JPA 3. So it will be, the acronym will still be JPA 2.
The acronym will be JPA 2, but the full name will be
Solid Waste Management.
Solid Waste Management.
And there will no longer be a JPA 1.
There will no longer be a JPA 1. As this is the last meeting, assuming that the consolidation is approved, and this board also approves the transfer of assets and the termination, this will be the last meeting of this board.
So at the end of the meeting, do we get cake and ice cream, or is it champagne
and
finger foods?
I should have brought some, shouldn't I?
Now, a question in regards to the physical assets. Mm-hmm. I know that the dollars and cents Leroy takes care of, and we have a third-party bank. Mm-hmm. But as far as the physical assets of JPA 1, are we going to do an inventory and assign those to the new landfill? And I guess the question is, who's going to do that inventory?
Well, we already have an inventory for JPA 1.
Okay.
So, and we keep track of all of our fixed assets.
Right.
And so all fixed assets are kept and recorded by the auditor's office, and they'll all be transferred, assuming the consolidation goes through, to the Tehama County Solid Waste Management Agency.
And that will take place after the two cities vote?
Yes.
So until that occurs, it is not functional. Very good.
Are those legal titles that need to be transferred? Are there legal titles in that, in those assets?
No, there's no legal titles in those assets. JPA-1 doesn't own any vehicles or buildings, per se.
Yeah, okay.
They own the FLIR and stuff and things.
Mm-hmm. And will that inventory be made public or at some point, or is it not necessary?
The fixed asset inventory?
Yeah.
I can provide a memo of that. It's not.
I think at the first meeting of the new board, mm-hmm. they need to accept that transfer okay. officially sitting on the dais.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea.
You know, just to keep it clean.
Yeah, just have an inventory list, and so everybody's just aware. You don't have to really have that much interest that you're just aware.
And you just want the fixed assets, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
I just think that it's something that we all should know.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's, and it's a public document, so why not share it?
Yeah, and I could provide a fixed asset list for JP, the current fixed asset list of JPA 2
And
as
the
well.
Current fixed asset list from the auditor is 1500?
Yes.
So mm-hmm. anything of a value $1,500 or more at will be on that purchase. List. We finally got him to move from 500.
Yeah.
We used to have to keep everything $500
no,
or more.
And you don't believe, wouldn't believe, because we have CRV recyclable receptacles around the county. We had to keep track of all of those if they were over $500. Mm. Okay.
It gave you something to do.
In our spare time.
Yes.
In our spare time. So one of the things that the new board will have to do is they'll have to appoint the public member at large once at its. Well, they'll have to approve the process first, and then they'll have to appoint the public member at large thereafter.
And are we going to use a similar process to other boards and committees of the county?
I would recommend that the current process that JPA-1 uses. We have an application process, and we advertise
it.
Mm-hmm. I would recommend that same process.
And we're going to advertise that on both the county and your website, and probably maybe even get the cities to advertise it on their website also.
Sure, I can't guarantee the cities would
right,
do that.
Right, but we can send it to them and request.
Definitely on our website, and then we always do our advertising in the Red Bluff Daily News.
Very good. Any other questions in regards to
the resolution?
Resolution.
I just have a question that I saw cropped up a couple times in here. It refers to maintaining existing sanitary landfill sites, as in plural.
Right.
Are there or were there more than one, or are there more than one? I was under the impression that that is the only site.
That's the only landfill site. We also
we've got three transfer sites.
Three transfer stations that the agency manages. Waste Connections operates.
But they're not landfill
three
sites.
Three of them. They're not landfill sites. Yeah.
So, okay, is that, should that plural be corrected to singular just to evade confusion?
Sure.
Because I saw that in a couple different places. And I'm not trying to nitpick, but somebody out there is going to come and say, well, this is a landfill site.
I think you're right on, Rob.
So.
Yep, we can make those amendments.
One landfill site with additional support.
Yeah, they're not sites. They're not landfill sites. They're transfer sites.
They're transfer sites.
They're not landfill sites.
That's fine.
Whatever you want to call them, but they're, because there's the one in Menlo, you drive in there off of A-17, you got the one in Paynes Creek. Oh, there's four.
Yeah, there's Mineral Mountain, Paynes Creek.
Mineral Mountain, Paynes Creek,
Rancho
Tehama. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's more than three.
And we have no interest at all in the one in Las Molinas.
It's still there.
It's still there, but I mean...
It's still there.
It's still there, but is...
It's not being used currently.
Well, we use it for the waste tire.
Yeah, we use it for tire vents, and that's it.
So that one needs to be listed also.
And that's owned by the agency?
It's owned by the county.
Oh, by the county.
And we manage it on behalf of the county.
The only one the county doesn't own is Rancho Tehama. The county owns the others, and Waste Management manages them. We're in the process right now of resurfacing the one, or out to bid for resurfacing the one in Mineral.
And Waste Management is the one that manages the one at Rancho?
No.
No.
I thought that's what you just said.
Waste Connections manages.
Waste Connections.
Waste Connections operates the Manton, Mineral, and Paints Creek transfer stations.
Okay.
The Rancho Tehama Association manages its own transfer station. They currently contract that out to Jolly Green Giant.
Right.
I'm not sure if I'm getting the name completely right.
The guy in Anderson?
Yeah. Okay, now I get it.
But all of the sites, whatever they, whether they're used or whatever, will be addressed.
Yes. I'll change, site landfill sites to landfill site, and then all those transfer stations.
Very good.
I think that clarifies it a whole bunch.
All right, hold on. Okay, and that was 1A. And we're going to discuss 1B as a separate item.
1B?
Well, the 1B was another. It's the amended and restated joint powers.
I just provided that for background. Okay. This board doesn't need to approve that.
Oh, okay. I saw a little grammatical typo there, but we can talk about that later.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay. Then with that, I will. Move to accept, unless anybody's got anything else.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second for a resolution directing the transfer of the assets from Solid Waste Management and terminating the Tehama County Sanitary Landfill Agency, if so approved by the two cities.
Correct, and as amended. Tonight.
Okay, so that's the only two other hurdles that we have, are the two cities.
The city of Red Bluff has not yet, and it must be Corning, I guess, huh?
Corning. Right. And actually, Tehama has to reconsider because there are changes by CalRecycle, so they'll have it on consent.
So it's all three cities.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We approved the first one.
You approved it,
then changes.
But then changes. CalRecycle requested a few minor changes.
Okay.
So, with the approval of the three cities.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I have a motion and a second.
Yeah, as JPA1, we're making the motion to accept this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
That's your second?
It is my second. I agree.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. Okay. On to a letter of support for Assembly Bill 1159.
Okay, so I'm just going to handle both of these really quickly because both of them are in the suspense file. So we expect both of these bills that I wrote letters for to be reintroduced next legislative session in January.
Mm-hmm.
Assembly Bill 1159. Was for alkaline batteries and sharps and would require manufacturers that sell alkaline batteries and sharps in the state of California to develop and fund and manage a take-back program for batteries and sharps. The reason being that this agency in the past has placed what's called product stewardship or extended producer responsibility as its legislative policy to support is because a lot of these items the state will ban, and what they do is what we call a ban without a plan. So the state will ban batteries like they did back in 2007, or 2006 actually, and then they don't provide any funding for local jurisdictions to collect and dispose of batteries. It costs us 62 cents per pound to dispose of batteries, and we collect upwards of 1,000 pounds per month of batteries.
That's a lot of batteries.
It's a lot of batteries. A lot of batteries.
About $8,000 a year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I would estimate that even though we have the easiest program in the state to dispose of your alkaline batteries properly, we're probably receiving less than half of the batteries that are out there.
Especially the number of them that Costco sells in those big boxes. Uh-huh. You know, I mean...
Yeah, and everybody's got a battery or a flashlight that they're changing batteries in, and a player that they're changing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, oh boy.
Well, how does that compare to other jurisdictions?
So, compared to other jurisdictions, we do fantastic.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
yes.
We collect more batteries on a per capita basis than anybody else in the state of California.
Man.
So.
That's because of our orange bags.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, and I was going to say, we got to hand it to the person in charge for doing that. I mean,
it makes it easy and free.
Holy cow.
It's not,
yeah.
I mean, it's not, it's
yeah.
the residents that are taking that time to do that. Even though we make it as easy as possible, they're still taking that extra step to put them in the bags for us. So, that cost of 62 cents per pound does not include any staff time at all.
Right. So that's just the disposal
cost. That's just the disposal cost. That doesn't include, my staff ordering bags. It doesn't include my staff doing outreach for the program. It doesn't include my staff delivering bags to the stores to give out for free. It doesn't include, how the process works, just to give you a little bit of background. So people place their orange bags inside their recycling bin. It then goes to the MRF. And then an employee of Waste Connections is designated on the MRF sorting line to pull out the orange bags. And so once they do that, they actually bring it to another location at the landfill, whereby my staff have to sort the alkaline batteries, because we, by law, cannot combine alkaline and rechargeable batteries. And as much as we try to educate the populace, we never can get perfect compliance. And so we have to sort through those orange battery bags to make sure that actually Paul does.
You're wearing gloves, I hope.
He does, yeah. You get really good at eyeing rechargeable batteries. And it would be really nice if they put like a little band around rechargeable batteries to make them really easy to see. But anyhow, they all have to be sorted. And so that 62 cents per pound does not include my staff time sorting. The batteries.
The rechargeable batteries are recycled also, are they not?
Yes, the rechargeable batteries are recycled as well, and we have a really good relationship with the Day Reporting Center, whereby we can send the rechargeable batteries to them, because all of those batteries have to be bagged or taped individually. And so the Day Reports bag and tape all of those batteries, and those batteries don't cost us a dime. They're actually free to get rid of.
But we're not, are we covering the tape and the bag cost for probation?
No, they cover that cost as well.
They're covering it themselves?
Mm-hmm. They even cover the shipping cost.
Did I see that in the grant warrant, though there were costs for sharps and batteries? Is that for buying the bags and buying containers?
Yeah, so I don't think it was on this warrant. I think it was maybe on the last.
I think that's for disposal of sharps.
Yeah, so we have sharps
that's
disposal
sharps.
Costs. And then we have battery disposal costs. Actually, that would have been on the 4045 budget.
Oh, yeah.
So on JP2's budget, they pay for disposal. But I'm sure you have seen that.
Yes, I have.
Okay, so those two letters are in suspense. So
they're both
your,
in suspense.
Your carpet update.
Okay.
And I don't know if anybody here is aware of your carpet farm.
Yeah, I can. So that's, I can give a brief update on that as well.
That's good.
I'm giving the carpet recycling program update.
Because Cal Recycle is taking that up, right?
Yes. Actually, they will be on site next Monday at the, I should back
up
for those that aren't aware. There is a carpet wall.
I know there is one. I don't know a lot about it. How was it constructed?
So somebody paid for the carpet to be transported to their property to create a fence. And when I say a fence, it's not a single layer of carpet around the property. They're pallets of carpet stacked in some areas. In most areas, I want to say 2 pallets high, but I believe there's some areas where the pallets are actually 3 pallets high of carpet. They're bales and bales of carpet. 2/3 around, I want to say, a 55-acre parcel.
It's off of No Name Road.
Off of No Name Road, which is near Guile Road.
Which is south of Guile.
Yeah, down Guile ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, long story short, the state is cleaning up the property. They required the county to place a lien on the property to attempt at cost recovery. The cost to clean up the property is going to exceed the value of the property, and CalRecycle fully recognizes that. That being said, we will begin receiving the carpet from that project on this Tuesday. So they're going to...
Now, is that going into the new landfill, or is it going to be used...
No, so I didn't permit Waste Connections to place the carpet in phase one of the landfill because I didn't want a monolith of carpet on the final height of our phase one landfill, because it would cause a lot of leachate seeps and long-term maintenance issues. So I told them that they had to place it in their existing phase two cell that's already constructed. We had hoped that the timing would work, that they could use it as their foundation layer, because it actually would be a perfect foundation layer for the new cell that's being constructed, but the timing isn't working for that. So it'll be in our already constructed phase two cell.
And how many tons do they expect?
They estimate 500 tons. I would say it's more like 1,500 tons.
And where did this all come from?
I don't want to be quoted on it because I don't remember quite exactly. It's in the north.
It came from
Bay.
The south.
Yeah, it's okay. In the north Bay area. I don't remember the town exactly.
And I don't need for it to be specific, just it wasn't something we generated.
No, it wasn't generated in Tehama County. The owner of the property actually paid for the transportation of the carpet.
Wow. And now we can't put that into our regular carpet recycle system.
I looked into it over and over and over, and I actually had the Carpet America recovery effort look into it as well to see if the carpet could be recycled. It's been there so long that it's in such poor condition that it's not possible to recycle it. You got grass growing out the top of it. It's
squirrels and snakes.
Snakes, yeah.
Creepy crawlers and everything else.
Mm-hmm. See, where it would be just nothing but a hazard.
Oh yeah.
Why did he build it? Anyway, no, just out of my own curiosity, why did he build a wall out of carpet?
Well, I don't know if anybody fully knows. It seems to be that somebody wanted to make a barrier of sorts, and I know that. Pardon?
A berm of some kind around the property.
Yeah, it's an extreme fence, is how I would say it.
Have you been up to Holiday Ranches and seen where they've done the rock walls?
No. Mm-hmm.
That was the intent. To have a fence, a pallet wide, too high, all the way around his property.
It's a fortress then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, if he'd have real quick, like, buried it, nobody could see him, he'd probably got away with it.
Shouldn't. No,
well, that's
being,
how
they
found
recorded.
Out about it, actually, is they found out that it was there because they had a solar panel system with some very rudimentary electrical connections that ended up catching fire because they were in the dry grass, which caused a portion of the carpet to catch on fire.
And they also had some green and growing material
yes, they had
there
some
too.
Other things,
of course.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That helps explain it a little more.
Okay. So you take the first load on Tuesday, huh?
Yes, we get the first load on Tuesday.
Okay.
To provide you an update on carpet recycling at the landfill, just really briefly, in 2012, Tehama County, along with five other rural jurisdictions, were chosen to be a part of a pilot carpet recycling program. It's no longer a pilot. The Carpet America Recovery Effort is funding it into perpetuity. So this program will be here to stay. So carpet, not just carpet is recycled, but also carpet pad. There is a tipping fee reduction for carpet that's segregated, carpet and carpet pad that's segregated and received at the landfill. So if somebody's coming into the landfill and they bring in carpet, they don't have to pay the full solid waste tipping fee if they place the carpet close to or inside the carpet trailer. In 2013, a mere 14.7 tons of carpet, two trailer loads, were recycled as a result of the new landfill and MRF operations agreement, which gives them Waste Connections an extreme incentive, both because they have to achieve a compaction guarantee, and then they also have to achieve the 2% diversion goal, and then also because they're paying $1 per cubic yard for waste placed in phase one and $3 per cubic yard for waste placed in phase two. They have a huge incentive to keep materials out of the landfill now. So as such, they now, in 2014, diverted 42.35 tons of carpet. And I can say thus far in 2015, we've been shipping out at least one trailer load of carpet every month. So that's upwards of 7 tons per month of carpet. It's catching on.
Yeah,
that's good. And all that does is extend our life of the landfill.
Yes, it's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
And it's typically just local carpet. I mean,
we don't accept out of county waste.
Okay, I realize that, but okay.
Whether it's recycled or not,
it doesn't matter what it is. Okay.
That's all from this county.
Yeah. Wow.
Very good. AB 341 update.
Okay. Assembly Bill 341 is the law that requires the state to achieve and recycle 75% of California's waste stream by 2020. And then it also requires any California business that generates 4 or more cubic yards of waste per week, or a multifamily complex of 5 or more units, it requires them to recycle. And back a few years ago, Senate Bill 1016 was passed, and Forrest probably remembers this. The state promised that if we went from a system focusing on our diversion percentage to a system that focuses on our programs, that it would be easier on local jurisdictions, and all we had to do was focus on implementing our programs. And so as local jurisdictions, we all thought that was great and wonderful, because there was a lot of flaws in the calculation method of determining our diversion rate. And so some jurisdictions would have quite a few programs, but nonetheless, because they had perhaps a large population of tourists in their community, it would make their diversion numbers off significantly and show that they're not in compliance with their 50% goal. So they promised this to us, and it sounded wonderful. And the first year was actually pretty good, but over the years since then, what's happened is the state has wanted more and more tracking of all of our programs. So instead of just calculating our overall diversion percentage, now they want us to spend significant amount of times tracking the percentages of anything and everything that we do. And so what used to take us about a week to prepare a report takes staff upwards of 3 weeks to provide all of the data that CalRecycle now wants for each of our individual programs that are stated in our source reduction and recycling element. So it's a lot of work and counting numbers. Just to give you an example, Rachel has to list out every single business in Tehama County and get data from Waste Connections and Waste Management about their current waste levels and their current recycling levels. And then every year she has to compare them based on the previous years, one by one, because there's not a system that can provide that data right off the bat. So she has to go take two spreadsheets and one by one compare each one. And then she has to compare them as a total to determine whether recycling's improved or decreased. And then there's a lot of data that they want that's not available at the landfill, because what they want is all commercial recycling that's self-haul. But we don't require people that, you know, if they have a mixed load of metal and concrete and maybe some mixed waste and maybe some CRV items and maybe some rigid plastics, we don't require them to weigh back on the scale for each material type, because that would be...
They wouldn't do it.
Nobody would do it. They would complain, and it would also cause... We're limited in our number of vehicle trips, and so it would cause our vehicle trip counts to be way off and possibly exceed them. It would exceed them. So anyhow, long story short, it's just a lot of reporting. It takes a significant amount of time. So with that, with AB 341, Rachel has to do a significant amount of reporting. She just finished it for this fiscal year. And so I wish she were here so I could thank her for all the work that she's done compiling all that data. But in my opinion, I would rather spend the time implementing the Smart Business Alliance and our other programs that actually get people to recycle than to spend all this time putting numbers together.
Okay, once you put those numbers together and you turn them in, who looks at them after that?
CalRecycle staff look at them.
And they actually go through them? And
I can't imagine what they would do for a city the size of Los Angeles or San Jose. It's possible for us because we're a small county, but in a large jurisdiction, I can't even comprehend having to do that analysis.
And that was good. If she lists every business, and I'm on there.
Well, you're not over 4 cubic yards, so I don't think you're on there.
Oh, okay. But if I was over 4 cubic yards, does that mean that when the garbage truck pulls up and dumps my dumpster, they make a check mark of it?
No, it's not based on how much is actually in your garbage dumpster. It's just based on your service level. So if you're signed up for a 4 cubic yard dumpster that's serviced one time per week, you're within that threshold, whether you have 1 cubic
yard.
So
a 4 cubic yard dumpster is the little one on wheels, or is that the big cart?
Well, no, it's a dumpster. It's probably a medium-sized dumpster.
This is something that would be very advantageous to this new group, the new board that we're coming with. Mm-hmm. You know. Because, I mean, this is stuff to learn. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway.
So, currently, Tehama County has a 28.8% compliance rate amongst multifamily dwellings with 5 or more units, and a 23.1% compliance rate amongst mobile home and or trailer parks, and a 53.2% compliance rate amongst businesses in the city of Corning, and a 59.6% compliance rate for businesses in the unincorporated county of Tehama, city of Tehama, and city of Red Bluff. One of the problems we face is that there's a Mega Waste and North Valley Services, which I get data from North Valley Services thanks to Forest each year, but a Mega Waste doesn't provide any data to us. And so just because our haulers are not servicing the business for their recyclables does not necessarily mean that they're not recycling. It could mean that Omega Waste is servicing the business. And to be quite frank, I'll give you an example. A PG&E has a 20-yard debris box that Omega Waste calls all recyclables. It clearly is not all recyclables. There's a large percentage of it that's waste. I know that because, I received a complaint from Waste Connections when they canceled their account with Waste Connections and signed up for Omega Waste because Waste Connections lost a lot of money and they have an exclusive franchise agreement. Anyhow. But those numbers would be flawed anyhow, because if I got numbers from Omega Waste stating that that was all recyclables, they're not all, in fact, all being recycled.
Well, I know for a fact that Omega Waste is picking up the cardboard at Dollar General on Antelope.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that means that that is not being counted by us.
Yeah, and so Rachel does her best. She has to make phone calls to every business that's not in compliance from the data that we receive from the haulers, our franchise haulers. She calls every business to try to find out if they are in fact recycling and to what extent. So if they're using Omega Waste, if they're self-hauling their recyclables, because they could be doing that as well. If they're, perhaps they don't have much opportunity to recycle just because of the nature of their business, there's not many items that are recyclable, but maybe they're recycling paper and maybe CRV. She has to call them and ask them for that data to try to fill in any holes that there might be.
But you can call and ask them, do they have to give that information
to you? They don't have to provide that information. And that's the hard part, is that we're required to do outreach, and the state requires more and more outreach every year. It's an immense amount of work. I don't know how to explain it any other way. The mandatory commercial recycling law has ended up taking a considerable amount of my staff time.
Okay. All righty.
But she's working diligently.
And outreach. Did Paul get to do that one?
Yes, I'll turn it over to Paul.
The last outreach update for the Tehama County Sanitary Landfill Agency. So Rachel visited the Tehama County Health Services Agency, Public Health Clinic, and the Transitional Age Youth Modular, as well as the Tehama County Administration offices to assess if the recycling programs in place at each site could be improved upon. Rachel also contributed waste reduction, recycling, and hazardous waste disposal information to the monthly Lake California POA newsletter, which is attached, the Rancho Tehama newsletter, as well as produced and distributed the Tehama County 4R's e-newsletter. We held a tire collection event on June 13th from 8 a.m. until 12 p.m. at the Corning Park and Ride and at the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill. The total number of tires collected was 2,611. Agency staff attended the Red Bluff Tehama County Chamber of Commerce's Saturday morning farmers market on June 6th and the Wednesday night farmers market on June 17th, the Corning farmers market on June 18th, and the Frontier Village farmers market on June 27th, which has moved to the Home Depot parking lot.
How about the Wednesday farmers market on July 1st?
We go to one farmer's market each per month because of our schedules and how we have to comp time based on working over for a day. So we did the Wednesday night market in June, and Rachel will be doing the Wednesday night market again next Wednesday. So if you want to go see her, you can see her next Wednesday. So at the farmers market, we promote recycling, of course, and waste reduction, as well as the correct disposal of household hazardous waste. And staff will continue to attend select markets for the duration of the summer. Rachel is conducting Smart Business Alliance outreach to businesses that are not currently in compliance with Assembly Bill 341. Currently, there are 18 partners, including the most recent partner of Dale's Carpet and Design. The agency hosted the Northern California Household Hazardous Waste Information Exchange on June 17th at the Tuscan Room to 46 attendees. The HHWIE is a forum for household hazardous waste and used oil program managers to share program ideas and provide input to state officials concerning barriers to the program implementation. Vice Chair Candy Carlson welcomed all the attendees.
Vice Chair of what?
Of JPA2.
Of JPA2. Yes, sir.
Of JPA2.
Oh, okay.
The next household hazardous waste collection events will be held from 8 a.m. until 12 p.m. on June 11th at the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill Household Hazardous Waste Facility, and on July 18th at Corning Disposal Household Hazardous Waste Facility. And finally, successful electronic waste collection events continue to be held the last Saturday of every month from 8 a.m. until 12 p.m. at the Corning Park and Ride and the Tehama County Social Services Department in Red Bluff. In May, 8,660 pounds of electronic waste was collected. I haven't gotten the June numbers yet. I'm supposed to get those tomorrow.
When's the next tire collection, or is there one?
The next will be either September or October. We did receive the next two-year cycle of tire amnesty grant. So as soon as we get the funding and open it up.
The reason I asked is a couple new tires showed up in the alley, so. And they drive through town, just pitch them out wherever they feel like it, and that's somebody else's problem.
Yeah, we need a couple of votes.
I thought you did.
So, if there are no other questions on the outreach update, can we go back to 5-2 letter of support for AB 1159? We need to approve the letter of support for AB
11. Oh, I didn't realize those were, I didn't read the approved. I'm sorry.
I would so move letter support bill 1159.
Second.
The motion and a second for support of the support letter for 1159. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. And Assembly Bill 45?
Yes.
Is a letter of opposition. Mm-hmm. So approve the letter of opposition.
Yep. So move.
Second.
A motion and a second to support for a letter of opposition on Assembly Bill 45. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. And that's it?
That's it.
I have one question. This is my last meeting.
Until we, yes.
All right, but a new appointment will be have to be made to the JPA 2 at that point.
So
I need to fill out an application if so interested.
Yes. Right. If you're interested, fill out an application.
Okay.
And I appreciate that. All right, thank you very much. It's a bittersweet moment for JPA 1.
Yeah. Champagne finger foods.
I should have brought something. Now, yeah, the agency just has done a lot of amazing things, but I think that a consolidated
It makes sense to consolidate. Mm-hmm.
Especially with the way we had to transfer money to pay the bills.
Yeah. Right.
You know, to take that big step out of, you know, us cutting them a check and then going to the auditor to cut the check, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. The initial inception was a grand thing, and it worked, and it grew, and it evolved.
And it's worked for how many years?
Yeah.
But that's where we had to do it at the time.
Yeah, and now this is the next step of evolution, I think.
I have a question. On the next phase, building of the next phase, has that started? No, the
scale house?
For the phase two cell.
For the phase two cell.
I need to send you an email. If any of you are interested, next Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, if you're interested in seeing a little bit of cell construction at phase two, the engineer, I'm going to see who can make.
Are you going to give us a couple of days or times? Or?
Yeah, so it's any morning on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday of next week. 8th,
9th, or 10th?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to do that.
It's really neat. So they're going to be, up until this point, they've just been excavating and compacting, and it hasn't been all that interesting to go and see. If you've seen excavation before, you wouldn't be all that interested in it. But starting on the 7th, they will be installing the liner, and that's what I told the board that I would.
What time do you think?
We haven't determined yet, so I was going to see what works for the most board members. I can give a tour, but our engineer from Clayton Coles from Lawrence and Associates also wanted to give a tour. So if I could get the majority of people to attend, I'll agendize it, and we'll have a tour.
Yeah.
So I'll send out that email tonight.
Earlier in the morning, the better for me, on either Wednesday or Friday.
Okay.
Thursday, I have a class at CSAC in Sacramento, so.
Well, we were hoping for early in the morning because it's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and wear close-toed shoes or boots, and I'll have safety vests, hopefully, that will.
I got one.
You have one. Okay. We have safety vests, but they're
and I got
most of them
hat.
Are for my size, to be honest with you.
The new courthouse gave me a hard hat and a safety vest so I could come look around.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I have one.
I want one. I want to go look around.
Go talk to the judge.
Yeah.
I had to walk around the outside.
Itself.
Yeah.
So, okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Just go back in there. They've got lots of them inside that first trailer.
Yeah.
If you want a tour, they'll take you.
All right.
Go in and ask for either Travis or. I can't think of the other guy's name. That's the PR guys. And they'll take you around.
Yeah, all right. I kind of liked it.
They will. You know,
and I'm assuming that those people also are very aware of their schedule and their construction schedule.
Yep.
Their, yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
They're right on the money. They want to be closed up by November, watertight by November of this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going like gangbusters. At this point, now that the walls are up.
Yeah, that was neat to watch. I just happened to see the first wall come up. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that the. Oh, I guess we better close this. We'll close this and then we're going to have a conversation. But the crane, and you probably know this, Rob, but the crane has to be equivalent to pick up.